This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:03. It's great to have you with us for the Friday edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Cisco Cotto. On today's Noon Business Hour, we're going to talk to some leaders in suburban villages who say they're pushing forward with plans to reopen in spite of what the state is saying. Entrepreneur Friday, Cubs Hall of Famer Andre Dawson is going to join us. He and his family now run a funeral home in South Florida. What is that like in the midst of a pandemic, helping grieving families? Right now, the government jobs report for April is dominating today's data. We're joined by Matt Mategan, CEO of Blue World Asset Managers here in Chicago. You can find him online at blueworldam.com. Matt, so what do you make of this data? I mean, it's absolutely history-making and kind of stunning.
Well, every once in a while, a jobs report comes out that proves, if nothing else, I need a life. I've heard it cut both ways. Today, of course, optimistic, pessimistic, and I am squarely in the optimism camp. The idea that there's no good news in this is not defendable, in my opinion. The important thing here is to understand how this is counted. So this is going to be a little bit, you know, kind of higher level analysis than what we would usually do crawling into the numbers. But normally when we get the jobs report, it's pretty easy. You have a job, you're counted as employed. You don't have a job, you're counted as unemployed. This time around, they have to change the way it's counted, because if your employer sent you a paycheck during the reporting period, you are being counted as employed. If you did not get a check, you are being counted as unemployed. If, however, you did not get a check, but you are receiving benefits from your employer still, you are being counted as unemployed. The number in that category is significant, which certainly signals a full expectation that these people are going to be coming back to work in the reasonably near future. Now, what do I see in there that's optimistic? First of all, the unemployment rate was about a point and a half lower than what was forecast. In addition to that, the total job losses were lower for the entire economy, and the ratio held true for the private sector. That is also very good news. The two key metrics we look at to really get a sense of where the job market is: manufacturing jobs came in at losses half of what was forecast. The other thing is the percentage of the population with a bachelor's degree or higher are still unemployed in only single digits. That means professionals are still working at levels much higher than everybody else that had double-digit drops. So when you couple that with the other reports coming out on inventories, for example, even though sales are down, inventories are down as well. With manufacturing not shedding as many as thought, and inventories going to need to be replenished in the near future, all of these things are good signs.
Good analysis from Matt Mategan. He is CEO at Blue World Asset Managers. The unemployment rate now 14.7%. Governor Pritzker this week is unveiling his phase strategy to reopen the Illinois economy. Let's get a perspective on the plan from Keith Peacock, mayor of Orland Park. Thanks for being with us, Mr. Mayor. What do you make of what you're seeing from the governor?
The plan that he rolled out on Tuesday was very similar to the plan that we sent him on August 24th. About 90% of it's the same. Where there are differences is I believe the 28-day rollout's too long. I also believe that his last phase, he's essentially requiring the virus to practically be eradicated, which we've never done. We've done once in the history of mankind, smallpox, and it took us a couple of hundred years. So I think that's a little bit too much. Also, I'm a little concerned that he doesn't really address our vulnerable populations or our nursing homes, and the CDC clearly recommends that they continue to shelter in place and don't take visitors through the whole rollout phase, because we know that the 87% of the deaths in Illinois are over 60 and 95% have compromised immune systems.
So if a lot of what was in your recommendation, and other mayors too, if a lot of what was in your recommendation the governor adopted, give us a sense of what maybe a few of those things are, things that you think are actually good in this plan.
So his phase three maps to our phase one almost exactly, except for restaurants. We think that restaurants should be in phase three at 50% capacity. He does not have that until phase four. The phase four, most of the things are the same. You know, phase five is obviously a complete opening. It's really the timing of the opening, how long we're waiting between. The CDC recommends 14 days. Every other state is using 14 days. The governor's plan says 28. Additionally, that final phase of complete opening, it is not feasible to think that we're going to eradicate this or for sure have a virus or a vaccine or have an effective treatment.
So do you then move to, I mean, whether it's restaurants or just about any business, I mean, do you see just about everything? What would you like? Just about everything to reopen with social distancing, decreased capacity, that sort of stuff?
Yeah, pretty much most businesses would be able to open in the next phase. I mean, the reality is in Orland Park, we have so many essential businesses from Home Depot to Lowe's to Costco to all the grocery stores or Target. You know, we have 20,000 people a day going through those big stores. And in 7 weeks, we have one case tied to those stores. So it only makes sense to me that our other stores can open as well, provided they put the appropriate safety measures in place.
So what have you been hearing from the small business owners then? We've been hearing here at WBBM some complaints. Small businesses are closed, the big box stores are open, and they feel like it's unfair.
It is unfair. I mean, mom and pop stores can't survive. They already compete against the chain stores, and now they're at a competitive disadvantage. Our restaurants won't make it to the governor's plan timing of around July 1st. And it's not just the mom and pop stores that can't survive. The chain stores that aren't open or are partially open, they can't either. And their employees can't survive without the jobs. The unemployment won't last forever. And we need a strong economy in order to, frankly, to take care of our COVID patients and have a valid healthcare, a good healthcare system. We need to have a strong economy as well. So we're a smart people in America. We can do both, and we can open safely and keep people safe.
That is Orland Park's Mayor Keith Peacock joining us. Later on in the show, we'll have Lockport's mayor here, just kind of getting a sense of what it's like, especially for small businesses in some of the areas of Chicagoland.
Cashing in with conversation. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
As we just mentioned, the markets are moving higher today on this Friday, last day of the trading week. That's in spite of unemployment numbers that were pretty devastating. Let's talk to Michael Palumbo about it. Mike, always good to have you on the show. What do you make of what you're seeing today on this Friday?
Well, just a normal economy where you got 33.5 million unemployment claims since the middle of March, possible 25% unemployment by the end of May, and a stock market that is approaching 3,000 in the S&P, which is only about, that would be about 10% off an all-time high. So, sure, this makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, right. Yeah, this is just business as usual.
Yeah, well, you know what, I tell you, before we went into COVID, I said I've seen it all. and COVID proved me wrong. So we're seeing some crazy dislocations right now. Doesn't mean stocks can't stay here, but they're going to have to grow into these numbers, and they're going to have to, and basically these reopenings, this is what the market's doing. The market is projecting how the reopenings are going to go, and obviously the market believes they're going to go well. And even that there are states that are dragging their feet a little bit on reopening, like Illinois, they do believe they eventually will reopen, and because of that, it's causing markets to already have a rosy picture about how it's going to go. But what we don't know is it really going to go that well? And we're going to have to see that over the next few months. But certainly markets are projecting a successful reopening of the economy, even if it's gradual.
At this point, is it nothing more than gambling that things are going to turn around? Because as you're mentioning, there's just so much that we don't know.
Well, Cisco, it's always gambling, okay? It's just a matter of...
No, we are serious investors here. We are not gamblers.
Yeah, we are long-term, but short-term, it's a gamble. And, but yes, I think your comment is well said, that this is more gambling than normal, for sure. You're seeing volatility that's pretty close to unprecedented in modern markets, meaning since World War II. So, yeah, we're getting crazy movements. It is a gamble. And really, the bet right now is, will the reopenings be successful, or will we have to close the economies again? If we have to reclose them, the market will definitely, it will fall 10, 20, 30% from here. But you know what? If the market is right and it gets these reopenings and things hold, you can make a case for valuations being here or even a little higher. So that's the bet. You can take either side, black or red here. Black is we make it through and everything's okay and the market rallies another 5-10%, or red is where we don't make it. We have to reclose the economy, and then you're going to see a 20-30% tank in the market.
Thanks so much for the analysis, Mike Palumbo, founder of MJP Capital, author of the book Calculated Risk.
This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
We're getting input today from suburban mayors on Governor Pritzker's plan to reopen the Illinois economy. Let's talk with Steve Stride. He is mayor of Lockport. Mayor, good to have you with us on the show. So tell us, I guess, in general terms, what do you think so far of what you've seen in the governor's plan?
Well, I mean, it kind of was a little bit of a jolt for, the mayors in our region. It seemed to be a change of the goalposts of when to reopen. I mean, originally when the governor came up with the shelter in and essential business only mandate, we all submitted to it faithfully, and it's like, okay, let's get this done. And it was meant to bend the curve so that the healthcare system could handle the influx of critical care patients. We could ramp up and get, the medical gear, personal protective equipment, and everything else that needed to happen. To be able to attack this virus and not let it overwhelm our country, our state, our communities. That was fine. Then, of course, he extended it an extra month, which is like, okay, that's fine. We're still, if you feel like it needs an extra month, we can do it. The problem is when the Restore Illinois plan came out a couple of days ago, it really seemed to throw a lot of things into question. And it was, being very authoritarian as well. Like, the only person that makes any decisions on this is the governor and the Illinois Department of Health. It was disturbing that the legislature had no input on it. It was disturbing that none of the local community leaders had any input on it. And, the problem with it is, it's like we're dealing with things on the ground here that, we know, but the governor doesn't. And none of us have been able to really have any input or contact with the mayor. When I've tried to intercede for some businesses who are like, how come recreational cannabis is allowed to be open? I'm a tobacco store, but I can't be, right? And when I try to get information from the governor on that, I get crickets. And so, we've all been in this kind of, place where, we don't know what's up. But now when we see this new guidelines, it's like this can go on forever. We just changed the goalposts from a full reopening to needing a vaccine or, herd immunity before there's a full reopening. And it's like holding out for a vaccine was never part of the original plan because it's unrealistic.
So what are you hearing, Mayor?
Cure other diseases.
I mean, let me ask you about small businesses, because we actually talked with Orland Park's mayor earlier and asked the same question. Big box stores open. A lot of small businesses that sell similar products are not open. Are you hearing complaints about that from some of Lockport's small businesses?
Well, of course. And you know, it's one of the struggles. It's like I used Marcio Tile as an example. It's, you know, it's a store that usually only Tops has like one or two people in there at a time, but I can still go buy tile at Home Depot, but I can't go there. And these are things that, you know, if the governor gives some autonomy here to local leaders who can help manage their communities, those are things that we can make work, right? We can ensure that Marcio Tile has social distancing practices and is able to reopen. And that way, you know, they can remain viable and not go out of business. And also by maintaining safety. But here's the bigger part of this. The bigger part of this is, you know, right now we have like, you know, a huge amount of unemployment claims and, you know, how are we going to fund this? And the best way to do it is to get people back to work safely. And so, you know, that's one way of helping this. But the idea that the health and safety and the economy are two different things, they go hand in hand. And that's been our big concern, is that you can't fund an adequate healthcare system unless you have a viable economy driving it. And so if we're going to see, you know, businesses go out of business and things close and or keep the shelter in beyond what the original intent to bend the curve was, we're never going to be able to afford anything. It was like you saw this with hospitals. When hospitals stopped doing elective surgeries, they were losing so much money they couldn't maintain themselves. Finally, the governor relented on that. But
yeah, and a lot of people, a lot of those medical facilities have been chiming in, too, saying everyone assumes medical facilities are doing really well because of COVID and people put in because of COVID. But so many surgeries and other procedures have been called off. Good insight. Mr. Mayor Steve Strite, mayor of Lockport, joining us here on the Noon Business Hour.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
We have a double dose of Entrepreneur Friday for you. Cubs Hall of Famer Andre Dawson runs a funeral home in Florida. And now he'll talk to us in our next segment. Dan Patterson is here right now. He is president and CEO of Moss Inc. in Elk Grove Village. They serve the trade show industry. Now they are pivoting, though, to the coronavirus protection business. Dan, it's good to have you with us. So tell us what you do ordinarily and what you're doing now in the pandemic.
Yeah, it's been quite a change. So we ordinarily are making large format graphics, promotional materials that we do, structures made out of tension fabric, which is textiles wrapped around aluminum frames. And where you see those kinds of things are in retail stores with promotion signage on them, but also in trade shows and exhibits, also in events. If you go to large corporate events, those are all areas where we have always traditionally been strong.
And so what are you doing now that trade shows all across the country, they're basically just shut down?
That's correct, yeah. So we've pivoted. We saw the need for the face masks that everyone else saw, and we said we got to help. And so we immediately began sewing face masks at our plant in Oak Grove Village. We're doing 600 to 1,000 of those a day, but we realized that was not going to have a significant impact. And so we looked at other alternatives, including going to China. We've had a long experience with China and we have a plant there. But we soon found kind of what medical buyers are facing, just unpredictability, sort of the Wild West situation of suppliers and deal making and pricing variances. And we said, we don't want any part of that. And so we said, we need to do this right. We need to do it here in the United States. And so we partnered through our office in Germany with a German university, Fraunhofer Institute, which is one of the leading engineering schools in Germany, to develop a machine to do high-speed production of medical procedure masks. These are called, I'll give you some jargon here, a little ASTM Type 2 F2100. And that doesn't mean anything to the ordinary folks out there, but to the medical folks listening, and that's music to their ears, because that means that the mask has been tested through by the ASTM Institute of Testing Standards. It has passed, and the product is registered with the FDA. So we are ramping up now. We will be the only manufacturer of this type of mask in Illinois. one of only a few here in the United States. Testing has already begun. We've passed the first stage. We'll have another submission here in about a week. And we should begin manufacturing in about 4 weeks here in Chicago.
I think it's a really, really interesting thing that you've done, and an encouragement to other entrepreneurs, too. If your industry has been shut down, you can pivot. You can move into something else. And often that's exactly what entrepreneurs do. Thank you, Dan Patterson, president and CEO of Moss, Inc. in Elk Grove Village. That is number one in today's Entrepreneur Friday. Cubs Hall of Famer Andre Dawson is next. His family now runs a funeral home. How are they helping people in the midst of the pandemic?
Money Talks as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The funeral industry has undergone major changes because of the viral pandemic. Let's find out what's being done. The second dose of Entrepreneur Friday. Andre Dawson is joining us. Cubs Hall of Famer. He now owns Paradise Memorial Funeral Home in Richmond Heights, Florida. Andre, good to have you with us. First thing I want to ask you is maybe the reaction that you got from some of your Hall of Fame buddies when you say, hey, I'm going into the funeral business.
Well, actually, I didn't tell them I was going into it. I mentioned to a couple of them that I did own a funeral home, and Jim Rice, Ricky Henderson in particular. And the first question was, you own what? And I said, yeah, believe it or not. And then the question started to flow, well, how is it? Are you comfortable with it? Things of that nature. But, yeah, they couldn't believe it. And, you know, it's to the point now where, you know, not only am I getting it from the Hall of Famers, but people in general, fans that I run into and encounter throughout my travels.
And then talk about what it's like to help grieving families, because I'm sure that's a part of the story that you tell people when they ask you about it.
It's a most difficult time. It's a sad time. And, you know, you just try to not put myself in their situation, but I've been there. I lost a mother, grandmother, uncle, two uncles, one as recently as April 2nd. And I kind of know the grieving process. So I genuinely just speak from the heart and let them know I will keep them in my prayers. And I pray that they may find peace at some point. But it's an ongoing war with emotions because the healing process is different from individual to individual. And for me personally, I just, you know, try to be an ear for them and help them get through that process, the grieving process itself.
Have things changed at all with what you do now that the pandemic is going on? It seems like funerals are a little different these days.
Oh, yes. It's really changed how you conduct services, how you prepare bodies, how your procedure is with removals and with visitations of people coming in to see a particular case before it actually has a service. So the pandemic itself has changed a lot of ways of you ways that you conducted if it was under normal circumstance, and that is preferably. I mean, that's basically because you're trying to make sure and ensure the safety of not only the families, but the people that work for you as well.
When a lot of people hear Andre Dawson owns a funeral home, I think they might think, oh, it's just a name, you know, he's just a face, that sort of a thing. But this is really a family business.
Well, no, it's not just a name. I had it fall into my lap 12 years ago because I was the principal holder of the loan itself. And when push came to shove, and because of economic reasons, it seemed like the business might collapse, I had to step in and take control. And it was challenging. I knew it was, you know, going to be a difficult task for me, being that I didn't grow up in this industry, and I hadn't really been around it other than being an investor in one prior to this business. So I pretty much had my hands tied as to what direction I wanted to go. But after meeting with a couple of the local pastors and sitting down and having a conference with my uncles who were both retired, I made the determination that, okay, I'll keep the business. I'll keep it open. It was a product of the community. And a service that had been there for over 30 years. So I just looked at it like, this is where I am in life, and now I just got to make a different type of adjustment. There's not going to be any fan cheering or crowds roaring. This is the complete opposite. So with both feet in now, I've, you know, learned a lot about, you know, how you deal with families, how you console families under this when they're on a trying time.
What would you say to other people who've had a successful first career and now they're thinking about transitioning to a second career? What would you say to maybe encourage them in that transition?
Well, make sure that it's what you want to do wholeheartedly. You got to grasp it for what it is. And it's, for me, it's something that keeps me focused. It keeps my attention just only in a different direction now. And I would say, you know, wholeheartedly, just go into it, you know, and accept it for what it is and just try to make the best or the most of it.
Thanks so much for being with us. Really good insight. That is Cubs Hall of Famer Andre Dawson. He and his family now own and operate Paradise Memorial Funeral Home in Richmond Heights, Florida. He's our Friday entrepreneur.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.